Hey guys, welcome back to Unscripted Scripture. I'm Jack.
I'm Zach.
Yeah.
Seriously, what's up, Zach? Guys? What?
Dude, you're a little late on that part.
You think so?
What do you
maybe
mean?
You're
we just did
a
it.
Little early.
Oh my word.
I don't know. I think I'm always right, so.
Okay.
You just need to follow in my footsteps.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Sorry, yeah. I'll follow you next time.
Yeah, anyways, next time all I'll right. do it.
Zach, I got a question for you.
Give it to me.
What do you think God looks like?
What do I think God?
Yeah. When you think of God, who do you picture?
I guess I picture a guy with a white robe, a beard.
So you're going basic God.
Long beard. Yeah, but it's like, I think he has black hair, not like gray hair.
Oh, like a mohawk? I think he's got he's got a mullet, dude.
No,
you got a picture of a mullet.
I think he does have a flow.
He's got a flow.
Not like Jesus, but I think he's a little more cleaned up than Jesus is.
You don't think he's bald?
Ooh, no.
He's
I
got
don't.
A little.
I think he's very, very much with hair.
Yeah.
I think he's got hairy face and a hairy head. What are you?
But he's like, is he like an old man or is he like our dad's age?
Dad's age.
That's kind of old too.
I would say like, I see him as like, well, obviously, I see him older than Jesus.
Yeah.
So. Maybe in his 40s, 50s.
Okay, that's good. So he's past the midlife crisis. He's all good.
Yeah, right. Wait, what? What do you see? What do you see?
I don't know. I always pictured, like, I never pictured, like, a face. I always just pictured Jesus as staying 30 years old.
Yeah.
My whole life. Like, he's just this really young guy. But I don't really have a face for God. He's just kind of there. Maybe I see, like, hands. Like, his hands.
Okay.
Yeah, if you look back at Kelly's post of creation, her drawing on our Insta page, that's like what I picture, like just hands.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But today we are taking a look at a story that shows God not in a human form, but in a different form. And we'll be taking a look at Exodus 3. Jump into the Old Testament.
Yeah. The burning bush.
Burning bush.
With the man Moses.
Moses.
Moses, his story is like just his, the way he became, I don't know, like how he was born and raised. That's crazy in itself.
His whole, his testimony, I mean, that would be a great story to hear from him. Right. Yeah.
Right. I mean, we can tell, I might as well just tell it now. The way we know it. I mean, obviously, we can tell his testimony the way we see it, but...
Yeah.
Could you imagine all the unknown stuff?
Oh, man.
Like, it skips from age to age. But anyways, so Moses was... he had a mom, obviously, and they were killing all the Hebrew babies, right, Jack?
Yeah, yeah.
And so his mom, in Egypt. And then his mom hid the baby in the river. And
in
a basket. Sorry. And then Pharaoh's daughter saw the baby and she felt bad for it and felt like she needed to care for the baby. And then one of the servant girls who was it? Was one of the servant girls?
Yeah, who cared for Moses?
Yeah,
yeah. It was like called it the nurse. Right. She took him and nursed him, and he grew. in the palace of the Pharaoh, but he was Hebrew by birth.
Right.
And so that's a little context. There's a little bit more. There's a whole story like before 3 that talks about how Moses fled Egypt into the wilderness. And we're going to leave that up to y'all to take a look at and read. I think it's a cool story. And so take a look back at the end of 2 in Exodus. And so we'll just jump in right at 3.
Gotcha.
So Moses was his 3-1. And Moses was actually, he got married during his exile, to, a man's daughter who he was staying with while he was in exile. And Moses actually had a son. So he had a son and a wife, and he was basically a shepherd, at the beginning of 3.
Yeah. But do you ever hear, other than this part, I mean, obviously I didn't read much further, but do you hear much more about Moses' son? Like, I don't remember any stories about his son.
Yeah. I guess from what I read, while we were preparing for this, I didn't see much about his son in the future text, but I did find a bunch more in Exodus about his wife.
Okay.
She's mentioned a few times, so
gotcha.
Different parts of chapter 4, and then later on in Exodus she's mentioned. And it's a really weird story, actually, some of it. And his son is mentioned in that. But I don't know by name, so.
His son's name is, what is it, Gershom or
whatever? Yeah, Gershom. Gershom.
Means, I have become the foreigner in a foreign land?
Yeah.
What, Moses' name means, become by water or entered by water or what is it? Is it explains
I didn't,
it?
I don't know.
In verse 2, it kind of explains it. But anyways, I drew him out of the water.
Oh yes, yeah, I see it. Yep, in 2:10.
Yeah,
drew him out of the water.
All right.
Well. So we'll continue on at 3, I guess. And so he's in the wilderness, to a place called Horeb, which is called the Mountain of God. And this is pretty far from Egypt. It's across past Mount Sinai, past the desert of Paran, and pretty much on the other side of the Red Sea. So he's traveled quite a bit in his exile, or fleeing Egypt. And so he's on this mountain, and an angel of the Lord appears to him in flames of fire from within a bush. A bush.
Just randomly catches on fire.
Yeah.
But, all right, so is the angel, do you think there's like a physical angel there? Or is the angel the fire, like the bush that's on fire?
I think it's the angel came to him as the flames and spoke to Moses through the fire. So there wasn't actually, I don't think there was actually like the face of an angel. Maybe he just appeared as the flaming fire.
Right. Cause Moses saw that through the bush was a fire and did not burn up.
Like it's why do they call it a burning bush then?
Right. Right. It just seems. And that says, so Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. It's not like he was like, oh wow, an angel. Like, it just always is talking about this bush that's on fire.
Yeah, he probably just thought it was like a wildfire or something got started.
Right.
And, like, randomly, and he's like, what happened here?
That's just why I have the question about the angel.
Yeah. And we'll never know. I mean, Moses, that's what you're saying. You said before, like, the stories he could tell, man. He's got all the info.
Right. Anyways. So, and, wait, so was he, like, shepherding? You think he was shepherding during this time?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he was tending to the flock of his father-in-law.
You're right, it does say that.
Wonder what happened to the sheep. Probably a little spooked by this flame, but, you know, when he gets the call, he's got to answer it. And then, so he went over, and the bush called out to him, and it was God calling Moses. And he said, here I am. And God warned him to take off his sandals and don't come any closer because this is holy ground.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God.
Yeah, what's up with people who keep on hiding from God, man? Like, maybe God does look scary. If Adam and Eve were doing it, I don't know, man. And now Moses?
And, I mean, it's different. Like, it's just, I think the Old Testament, people's image of God is so different than the New Testament because of how Jesus portrays God.
Hmm.
Before, God was, you honored God or else his wrath would come upon you. I mean, they saw what happened with Noah and with, Lot and his family at Sodom and Gomorrah. Right. Before this, before Moses, and they know that God is, he can become enraged and angry, and so just hiding your sin, I think, was the whole thing. Like, Moses just felt so unworthy to be standing in God's presence. I'm not even going to look at him because I don't want him to see my dirty face, you know?
Hmm. Good. That's a good...
I mean, there's a story, the story in 2, at the end of 2, is... Moses has a pretty dark sin, so
yeah,
I think that's good for y'all to keep reading on, just to understand why he's feeling this.
If we continue on, so Moses is at the Holy Land, and that's when God says, "Take off your shoes." I am. Oh, and then he said, "Yeah, he's hiding his face." I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. So he was saying how the Egyptians were, that the Hebrews were being treated by the Pharisees.
Or Pharaoh.
Pharaoh, by Pharaoh, the Egyptian. Yeah. Sorry.
And God, like, understands this. And I'm sure by this point, like, after being imprisoned by Pharaoh, the Israelites are just so, they've forgotten about God. I mean, Abraham's descendants have spent over 400 years in Egypt as prisoners to Pharaoh. And they feel like, I'm sure a lot of people have felt abandoned by God. Well, and this, like, Moses hearing this has to be such a relief to know that, I hear your suffering. I mourn with you, and I'm here to rescue you from the Egyptians, and you're going to come to the promised land. And he's like, he's promising this to Moses.
Yeah, he says that he's like, I remember the promise that I made to Abraham. To take my people to the promised land. I think this was the last hurrah of the Israelites too, like the last cry out to God, because he does say, he says, I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. That's what God's saying to Moses. So he's saying, like, I'm hearing them, like, it's finally, like, let's do something about it.
Yeah.
And Moses is the greatest guy. Moses plays both sides. He is a Hebrew. He is a Israelite, but he was raised by the Egyptians.
Mm-hmm.
So who better to do the job that God has than Moses?
And this whole story, I mean, Moses' life was planned out before he was formed in the womb. Like, God knew this man. Like, he's just as he does for all of us. Like, I know everything you're going to go through. I know your mother's going to put you in the river. I know the Pharaoh's going to pick you up and you're going to be raised by Egyptians. I know you're going to have to flee Egypt. And I know you're going to have to go and plead to Pharaoh to let the Israelites go. Like, I know all this is going to happen. And that's the same for us. Like, he He already knows it. Like back when we were 20 odd years ago, before we were, you know, even right. formed in our mom's womb, like he right. knows our plans. He knows our when we're going to die, when what jobs we're going to get, like every little thing God has planned out to the detail. To every thought we'll have like years from now. It's just unbelievable to think of some being like having that much power and that much, I guess, magic. Like, I don't even know the word, man. Like, it's just, it's not even, you can't even fathom it. I mean, how many stories have we looked at where it's just, you can't even fathom how powerful and mighty God is because of just everything that he's done.
I know. There, yeah. You're right. There's so many times. There's so many times that we look over what he's done for us and how much he has planned that we take advantage of. We make our own plans and don't let God work out his plans.
Man, and he knows Moses. I mean, he knows his heart. And he's like, you understood that, you know, Pharaoh imprisoning these Israelites is wrong. And so you fled. And now I'm going to use you. You're going to go back and I'm going to use you. And and then Moses asked him, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? So he's humble. Like, he's like, me? Like, what? Like, no, I'm not the guy. Like, you need big men. You need Noah. You need Adam. You need, like, holy men.
Right. And it makes me think of, like, all he could probably think of is what you said, like, he was hit his face because of the great sin he had back in 2.
Yeah.
So for him to then say it again, like, God, who do you think I am? Like,
yeah.
So I think that's what we do so many times is we think to ourselves, we're like, God, who do you think I am? Like, you want me to do that? But I've failed you this time, and this time. But then, yeah, God's response was like, I'll be with you, and this will be the sign to you that I am who have sent you.
Yeah.
You will bring my people out of Egypt, and you will worship God on this mountain. You'll bring them to this mountain and worship.
Man. Yeah, so, and he questions, so I go to the Israelites and say, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they ask me, what is his name? What should I tell him?
Yeah. And, this is in 3:13, right?
Yeah.
Exodus 3:13?
Yep. Right. And God responds, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you.
Mm-hmm.
The great I am.
Oh, the great I am.
And I looked this up. I was like reading about this. And the name I am was the most holy name for God. It was so revered and so holy that later Jewish leaders refused to even speak it.
Huh.
They called him Yahweh because calling him I am is just was too great. And so,
wow,
I think this name just caused the Israelites to think about God's supremacy and how unique of a relationship he has with them. I am who I am. Like, you can't even describe who God is. He's just I am. It's so bizarre and like,
I can't really wrap my head around it right now. Like, I'm gonna have to take a couple of days just to just those 5 words.
Like, what does that even mean? Like, that's, dude, what does that even mean?
Right.
I am who I am. Like, that is so big.
In my study Bible right here, it has one of those or. It says, or I will be what I will be. So what's that? Like,
that doesn't help anybody.
I know. one of those side notes.
Yeah.
We'll come back to it 3 days wow. from now because it's that I can't wrap my head around that.
And that is, yeah, continue to think about that. And that is, I mean, this is what Moses had to say to the Israelites. And he's like, tell them, I am the God of Abraham, I'm the God of mm-hmm. Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Mm-hmm. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation.
Yeah.
And challenged him to go to the elders of Israel and tell them that God has sent you and he's been watching over you and seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And this is in 17. And tell them about the promises that I will bring you out of your misery in Egypt and into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. In a land flowing with milk and honey.
Dude, good job. Way to, like, name all those...
Look at that.
...ites. You got all those ites.
I got all the ites.
I'm glad you read it and I didn't.
I was just going for it. I didn't prepare it. I was just like, there they are, and I'm reading it. If I mess up, I mess up.
All right, so then if we continue on in the story, God pretty much tells him, like, they will listen. And the Lord, well, he pretty much says, if you get these guys, like, if you tell these guys and these guys are with you, then, like, you have the most knowledge, the most powered guys of that time. For, because if the, crap. What are they called? The Israelites? Like, if they were doubting God, like, these were the guys that Moses needed to go and talk to.
Yeah.
So that they weren't doubting God as much anymore.
But they had to believe him. I mean, they had to
right.
believe that, like, he actually had seen God. And God told him to do this. Like, he's still kind of an Egyptian. And mm-hmm. they don't like Egyptians. So
right.
It's going to be very interesting. But, I mean, he had to... Remember, he has a wife and kid.
Mm.
Like, so he's got to go tell them, like, hey, we got to go to Egypt.
Right.
We got to go into the lion's den and face
right.
Pharaoh and slavery. And you'll probably be enslaved or at a worse part than you are right now. But you know what? God told me to do it, so we're going to do it.
Mm.
And, all right.
So we go on, and God pretty much just lays out, like, what's going to happen and what needs to happen. But then it gets to the point where he's like, so every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in the house for articles of silver and gold for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters. And so you will ponder the Egyptians.
Mm.
Or plunder. So, wow. Like,
so he's going, man. He is ready. Like,
right.
He's going to go.
And that's...
He saw the burning bush.
Yeah.
God told him, this is what you got to say. This is what you got to do. I'll go do it.
Right, right.
He's going.
And
I don't know what's going
right. to
happen.
And that's the end of three.
That's it.
That's the burning bush. And we leave it a cliffhanger so you guys will pick it up and read it. Moses, God gets mad at Moses in the next section.
Oof.
But God kind of gives Moses a little bit of grace.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll just have to figure out how.
I mean, the wildest, some of the wildest miracles, things that ever happened in the Bible happen in the next few chapters mm-hmm. in Exodus. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot, it's a roller coaster ride, and we're excited for you guys to read it. Thank you for listening this week.
Well, wait, Jack, I just want to, like, it's crazy, like, this was the start of Moses. Like, yeah, he had the great testimony before where he was pretty much born to a mother and then hidden. But, like, this is his start with God, pretty much.
He probably thinks, like, his testimony is the thing right now. Like, he would, I mean, if he died that day before the bush came.
Right.
That's a testimony in and of itself, uh-huh, but it's uh-huh. just growing and growing, just as all of ours does.
Right, but I'm saying, like, this is his start to walk with God. When I think of Moses, I think of this godly, like, this man of God who just always followed God. But, like, you can see, like, he was a shepherd before this, and I always forget that. I always forget Moses was a shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And... like, yeah. This burning bush was the start of his journey, of his mission. Yeah, so like you said, this is the start. He already had that story. Like, could you imagine what else is there? So, yeah, definitely dive in, read it.
So cool.
Yes, now we can end. Now we can wrap it up after I... rambled on.
So yeah, thank you guys for joining us this week. Be sure to check us out on Instagram at Unscripted Scripture. Great artwork done by Kelly Drummond. So be sure to check that out. And follow us. Come listen to us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And see y'all next week.
Wait, Jack. You just told them to listen to us, but they're already listening to us on Apple or Spotify.
For next week.
Oh, yeah. All right. Continue to listen to us,
guys. We're on a cliffhanger, man.
Yeah. All right. Continue to listen to us, guys. We'll see you next week. All right. Bye.